Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Okay, let's have a look at what's coming up on our screens, big and small. And joining me this week, Irish Times writer and film critic Tara Brady and entertainment.ie movies editor Brian Lloyd. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
So there are two interesting biographical documentaries on the streamers. Brian, we start with you. And still, yeah, a Michael J. Fox movie is on Apple TV Plus and big buzz around this.
Yeah, definitely. It's directed by Davis Guggenheim, who previously did Waiting for Superman. And he did An Inconvenient Truth, the one with Al Gore. So there's a lot of Oscar buzz already. It premiered at Sundance, did very, very well. Tells the story of Michael J. Fox from his early career on, you know, Family Ties, how he became the boy prince of Hollywood, Back to the Future. But then in 1991, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, but then hid it for 6 years. And what's interesting about the documentary is that it is very much him pretty much confessing to every single fault that he has in himself.
Okay.
That he was, you know, sleeping around a lot when he was young, that he was driving a lot of cars, that he had problems with alcohol addiction, that he was using the alcohol to disassociate himself, and then eventually was hiding his diagnosis from the world. I mean, it shows like clips from Spin City, that sitcom that he was on in the 90s. And he talks about how he used to like pick up pens and like play with them, or he'd like be constantly walking around in a shot to hide his hands shaking or the fact that his knees were locking up. So he just really does bear.
When you
soul.
Think back, and in Spin City, there was a kind of that manic, all this moving, yeah, energy about him, which was the character.
Which was the character, about, yeah. But in actuality, it was him trying to hide his Parkinson's head as it was getting progressively worse. And again, that's fascinating, the fact that he has been so open about it and just isn't hiding it anymore and is talking so openly. And when you see him doing like kind of the one-to-one interviews with Davis Guggenheim, I mean, he literally do see him popping pills to try stop his hand movement, yeah, and all the rest of it. And we follow him with a physio and everything as well. But again, his personality shines through. Like, he's so charming. Like, he's so kind of quick-witted. That really does come through in the documentary. So really,
okay,
enjoyed it.
Okay, all right. And then, Tara, the one you have for us is on Netflix next week, I think. Is it not up yet?
The Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's kind of a trend in this now, isn't there? The reclaiming of what we might call, quote, sex symbols,
yeah,
that we might have.
I think, the thing about Anna Nicole Smith is that she's the 24-hour news cycle is well established at the point where she comes along.
And when did she come along?
Well, she comes along at that moment in the late 90s, and she arrives in Hollywood, and of course she has the billionaire husband as well, but which can't have hurt her career. But she's suddenly the Playmate of the Year, so she's suddenly up in the Playboy Mansion, and she's she is in a Coen Brothers movie. She gets offered part. She was offered the main role in The Mask, which eventually she passed on. It went to Cameron Diaz, made Cameron Diaz a star, and she ended up taking Naked Gun 33 1/3,
which was pretty decent, actually,
she got to be with Leslie Nielsen. So I'm sure she got a good laugh out of it in the paycheck. It's a really kind of absolutely tragic story. She dies like completely ridiculously young. Her son, who she brought with her out to Hollywood from her small town in Texas, he died at 20, 2 days after the birth of her daughter, Daniel Lynn. And then there's a big court case and there's a big paternity suit. And, you know, so there's all this kind of circus always happening around her. She's very much, she's in on the kind of, she's an early adopter when it comes to reality TV, because she's maybe the second big reality TV show after The Osbournes. So it's really like she's in on the early wrong, and I think it's very telling. The credits of that show had her as a cartoon, and that's very much the way she was often portrayed, as a kind of a cartoon, as this sort of, you know, cartoon bombshell type figure.
So is she another tragic victim of American celebrity, essentially?
Essentially, there's no other way this can go. There's no other way you can write that. But the director here is Ursula McFarlane, who's, you know, pretty kind of heavy hitting documentarian.
Okay.
She's the documentary she's made before about Charlie Hebdo and things like that. So I'm imagining that this will be there'll be a little bit more than the froth.
Okay, Brian, that's called Anna Nicole Smith. You Don't Know Me, and that's Netflix. Brian, Any good films around at the moment about a trained assassin woken from a coma to protect her daughter?
No, Brendan. No, there isn't. So you're talking about The Mother, which is on Netflix. And this is not a dig at my learned colleague from The Irish Times, but it's like an AI wrote this. It is just very, very, very generic. Boilerplate, you've seen this a thousand times before. Yeah. In fact, it actually
doesn't take AI to write that kind of thing, though. Like,
it doesn't really, like, years. You could write this in your sleep. Like, yeah, so essentially, Jennifer Lopez plays this military trained assassin who has a young daughter that has been adopted. She doesn't have any relationship with her. The daughter gets into trouble by her old buddies, is kidnapped, and then she has to go on a path of revenge to get her. I mean, you could literally write this in your sleep. And on top
watchable,
of that,
watchable,
not at all.
Not this watchable, is, no, okay. Not all right, slightest. Let's move on, yeah. Okay. Tara, The Stones and Brian Jones, which is a Nick Broomfield documentary. It's on BBC on Monday. I think a lot of people would be surprised Nick Broomfield still churning them out.
Oh, yeah, he was 75 and he's actually on the absolute roll of his career. The last few years. And it's funny because there was a certain point where Nick Broomfield was, you know, he had that shtick of, here's my, I'm the bumbling BBC man on your doorstep. And that was his way of getting around things. But, like, I think at a certain point, particularly in the late 90s, he became like it was like kind of a self-parody. But also he was like, it was sort of very kind of scandal-making tabloid, and like his Curtin Courtney documentary was just absolutely like just smoking gun and like, you know, absolutely scurrilous allegations all the way through. But he's become a much more kind of sensitive filmmaker, I think, over the years. And
is this the story about how Brian Jones is kind of maybe not treated very well by the Stones? Is that
that's essentially the idea. But it's interesting because he's done a few very good documentaries, like the Whitney Houston one, which was very sensitive. But the ones he's done that are really well are where he's kind of on the periphery of the story. So if you saw Marianne and Leonard, which was his documentary about Leonard Cohen and the fact that they had the same lover for a time when he was a young man, because he's there on the peripheries but not really the subject of the documentary, it becomes a really, really kind of powerful, very, very complex portrait of like this kind of hedonistic lifestyle, and, you know, like who's to blame for the sort of tragic aftermath of all those things. He did a lovely documentary about his father, who was an industrial photographer a couple of years ago.
Okay,
as well.
We haven't time to delve into this.
So I'm really
history,
much so. Looking forward to
okay,
this.
Okay, great. That's The Stones and Brian Jones at BBC Two on Monday. Brian, so Deadshot is in Sky Cinemas.
Yeah.
It's got on Sky Cinema and in selected cinemas.
Yeah.
So this is a Northern Ireland Troubles thriller, which is the kind of thing that can go very wrong.
Wrong. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But I mean, this was based on a screenplay by Ronan Bennett, who was actually falsely imprisoned in Longkesh in 1974. So it does have a degree of veracity to it. But yeah, I mean, it is very much a straightforward action thriller. Very well directed by the Gard brothers. Stars Amal Amin and Colin Morgan.
So not a political film?
No, not at all. I mean, it does kind of like strip it away and just turns it into a straight revenge thriller. I mean, the kind of the inciting incident of it is that Colin Morgan's character has retired from the IRA. He's about to bring his wife to the hospital to give birth when they're stopped by a paratrooper patrol and the wife is shot dead. So then he basically goes on a path of revenge. That just seems to be the thing today. But he goes on a path of revenge to get after him, goes to London, leads a bombing campaign to get him. So it does kind of, it doesn't really kind of follow any kind of ideology. He's not ideologically driven. He's just driven by the path of vengeance. And Amal Amin's character. Yeah, good. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's one of the few films that it's 90 minutes long. I actually probably would have likened to have seen it a bit more kind of filled out a bit. I would have loved to have seen what Ronan Bennett, his screenplay, because the Gard brothers basically took his screenplay and used it as a sort of a basis of an idea. I would have loved him to have seen what his screenplay was.
Okay, maybe we'll get his director's quarter, writer's
like
quarter
that, yeah.
at some stage. Tara, Disney Plus has Peter Pan and Wendy. This is a new version of it, yeah?
This is part of Disney's big program to turn like classic cartoons into live action. So we've already had rather improbably like the Lion King, we've had the Jungle Book, we've had Aladdin. and this is Peter Pan and Wendy, and we've obviously got The Little Mermaid coming out in the next couple of weeks as well in cinemas. This one has gone straight to Disney Plus. I was very much looking forward to this because it's David Lowry, who I think is a great director, and he also was the director of the translation of Pete's Dragon to live action, and Pete's Dragon was a nothing kind of cartoon, and he turned it into an absolutely brilliant film with Robert Redford, and they this is, I don't know, it's very kind of flat. It feels very
truncated,
very CG, it's very kind of cozy. All the casting is, obviously they've had to take out the racism and all those sorts of things from the thing, and there's a lovely performance at the center of it by Ever Anderson, who's Mila Jovovich's daughter with Paul W.S. Anderson, the director, and quite rightly it locates the story with Wendy, because really the story of Peter Pan is all about Wendy and her way into it, rather than Peter Pan himself, who's like literally this flighty character who you can't pin down. It's very nice, very watchable, not particularly magic.
A little bit disappointing. Okay, Brian, finally, can you do Creator on Disney Plus for us in about 45 seconds?
Absolutely. It's basically it's basically Stand By Me, but set on the surface of the moon. It's a bunch of kids who decide to hijack this lunar rover and take it out on a joyride. One of the party, he has become an orphan and is about to be shipped off to this distant planet where he'll live a magical life. So he's leaving all his pals behind. They go to visit this crater, get into scrapes along the way. It's essentially just, you know, Stand By Me, but, you know, set on the surface.
Because everything has to be set in the future these days.
Exactly, yeah.
As far as I can see. Yeah. By the way, I want to give people a quick update on Silo. So I watched the third one. Kay mentioned it last week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting drawn in. I think it's quite good, yeah?
Yeah.
It's quite, it's watchable.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
That's the word.
That's the bar we're at here.
I think so, yeah.